Good morning, Steve Dales, Pet World on WGN Radio. I will tell you, it's been on and off really hot outside. And even nationwide, I mean, there have been anecdotally more instances of heat stroke in dogs than ever before. And I've posted about that in social media, and veterinarians like Dr. Kathleen Hennigan have said, yes, I've experienced it this year way too often because heat stroke can so often be avoided in dogs. So this entire conversation is hopefully to inform you so you don't have this problem. Dr. Hennigan, welcome to the program, and I think this is where we start, is to explain, yeah, is to explain that dogs in general, being dogs, just aren't as efficient at releasing heat as we are being human beings and able to perspire much, yeah, more than dogs can. I think that's a good place as a matter of explanation for those who don't know to start.
Right. Well, exactly. If anybody's been outside, even if you're not working out, you get sweaty, you sweat through your clothes, and it's a very efficient way of cooling, but even humans are at risk of heat stroke. Imagine if you could only sweat through your hands and feet. Very inefficient. So unfortunately, our canine pals can only pant to cool themselves, which is a very inefficient way of cooling down. And sadly, many times, they don't even realize they're overheating because they're having fun outside with us.
And it gets worse. So what you said is true for all dogs. But there are dogs that even have more difficulty, what we call the brachiocephalic breeds. Can you explain what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so brachiocephalic just basically means mush face. So a lot of the really popular dogs these days, French bulldogs, English bulldogs, pugs, Pekingese, if they have a shorter than normal nose, they have a few things that go along with that that make them very inefficient breathers, not to mention coolers. So they make noise, many of them, when they're breathing at rest. That's because their airways are too narrow, their nostrils are too narrow. They have very kind of compromised and squished up airways in their larynx and trachea. So it's much narrower circumference. And they also have very thick tongues and really smushed throats. So it's a very hard way for them to cool off because they have a hard time breathing in cool air. So a day that's hot and muggy for any regular dog could be a life-threatening day for one of those guys.
And I'm not done yet. So what's often not talked about are geriatric dogs. So just like great-great-grandma, who's 180 years old, you wouldn't take her out if it's 120 degrees outside.
No.
But it's the same.
With age, some breeds of dogs can be prone to a condition called chronic bronchitis, which is very much like asthma in people, and a common anomaly in larger breed dogs, especially Labradors and other breeds of that size, something called laryngeal paralysis, where they literally cannot open and close their airway at all. So those dogs can actually have a life-threatening heat stroke just due to the fact that their airways no longer work properly. They've got a nerve problem that doesn't allow their airways to open up to intake and expel air appropriately.
And I have one more. We almost naturally know if it's really hot outside and sunny, we wear light clothing and we wear maybe something that's white or yellow or a brighter color because the sun radiates off that rather than radiates into a darker color like if you're wearing black or brown. So dogs with black or brown coats actually get hotter than some other dogs, I believe.
They do. And imagine, well, let's just say the COVID-19 weight gain in humans has extended to our pets as well. Mm-hmm. So if they're overweight, that even makes it that much more difficult for cooling. Not to mention the fact that, again, they don't always know when to say when. So we sort of have to look out for them and say, you know what, I think you've been out a while. You feel pretty hot. Let's get inside. They will often stay with us to the point that they would pass out just because they want to be in our company and it could be risky for them.
So sometimes, and I know you want to make a point of this, so you're walking down the street with your dog, and I have seen this year especially so often, where I see that dog of any breed of any mix. So yes, sometimes a brachiocephalic dog like a bulldog, but sometimes a kind of brachiocephalic dog, if you will, like a pit bull type dog, and sometimes that Labrador, I will see them just like lay flat on the ground. They're not even walking anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen that too. So
absolutely.
Sometimes I think our dogs do tell us, Dr. Mm-hmm. Hennigan, but I think we're not understanding or we're not paying attention. Oh, come on, you're just being lazy. I don't know what people think.
Right, right. Yeah, lucky for those dogs that they did that, you know, because it probably saved their lives on a walk. I actually had a boxer at one point that lay down on a walk, and I thought, you know what, you're right, we did go too far. So I waited there till he was ready. That tongue was hanging way too low, and looking back, I went probably about 4 blocks longer than I should have on that day, and so I learned from that. So we're not immune to sometimes over-anticipating what our pets can handle, especially when the weather gets as warm as it did this year. It kind of got warm with not a whole lot of lead up. So I think none of us were really acclimated to the heat this year as well as we would be in years past.
And I think that's a factor too. So what are some things that we should look for? Aha! Our dog might be overheating.
Well, definitely great. So good point. We've got to watch for a decreased activity level. Maybe you're on a walk and the dog is kind of dragging behind you. Certainly the tongue hanging out, as I mentioned about my boxer, if it's normally out a little bit and it's out twice as long, they are struggling. You're looking for changes in their gum color, maybe bright, bright red or purplish, bluish colors, really, really thick saliva, and just increased airway noise. They're making a lot of noise to breathe. Obviously, you know, many people don't have a thermometer on them, but just FYI, the typical thermometer reading for a healthy dog is 101.5 plus or minus a degree. If they're running hotter than that, you need to get them somewhere cool. And if you can't get them cool enough at home, immediately take them to your vet.
All right. Do not wait. So what if, you know, I mean, there's that idea, all right, my dog's really hot. I'll just throw my dog into a cold shower or a bathtub filled with ice cubes and very cold water. I'm thinking neither one is really a good idea.
You know, it can be a good idea if you've caught it very, very early on. So if you do recognize the symptoms really quickly, that may be all that you need to do. But honestly, if 10, 15 minutes later, your pet is still struggling, you've probably gotten to the point where now your pet needs medical care, because cooling, external cooling alone can't always do the trick. Sometimes these guys need oxygen support, IV fluids, and other interventions to save their lives. So I really tell folks, you certainly want to start by cooling them off at home, but if it's not working in a really rapid amount of time, get on the phone, get in the car, get rolling.
And everything you said, of course, is true. But my point that I wanted to make is you don't want freezing cold water. Right, that was the point. So you want water that is how cold?
And the other thing people don't always realize, if they do have a thermometer at home, you don't want to overcool them. So you want to get them to maybe about 103 because the body's mechanisms to cool have already kicked in by that point, and you can actually then bring it to the opposite end of the spectrum where they're now getting too cold. So it's a bit of a catch-22. And again, call your vet. If you're making progress and things are going the right way, find out how cool do I need to get this dog? What am I doing that's right? Wetting towels and laying cool towels on them can be helpful too if you can't soak them. But yeah, don't want to overcool them. And so it's a bit of a catch-22. So don't be afraid to pick up that phone and call your vet. They'll be able to guide you through it.
Now, the number of, I'll say it, 51. That's the number, you're thinking, what is he talking about? That's the number of dogs, according to the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, have this year and last year died in a hot car. Now, that number is way low because all of the cases are not reported. I can't imagine anyone wants their dog to die in a hot car. Again, it's along the lines of what we're talking about. I don't think that people realize, first off, how hot cars really get, but in addition to that, how quickly a dog can pay a price as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, I think we sort of inflate our importance a little bit more than we need to in our pets' lives. Of course, our pets love us, but they like air conditioning too. They like to be in a cool place. They like to be in a comfortable place. So maybe you're running some errands in the summertime. You know, maybe leave your pet at home. I don't think that they're going to miss you. And if they do miss you while you're gone, well, great, they'll be that much happier to see you. But sometimes we think what's going to be a quick errand ends up being a longer errand. And sadly, we see it happen to pets. We see it happen to kids. And it's just tragic.
Yeah, it is. But there's good news in all this. We can do things safely outside with our pets in the summer. We want our pets to have exercise. Probably we should be exercising too, especially with those pandemic pounds you mentioned. Yeah. Apparently, Dr. Hennigan, you've seen images of me. I don't know. So we'll be right back to talk about all of that on WGN. We're talking to Dr. Kathleen Hennigan about all of these dogs now that are, and you've seen, you said, Dr. Hennigan, some of them that have had heat stroke. Would you argue that heat stroke in nearly, and I'm not blaming anyone, but in nearly every case, really could have been avoided?
you know, it's one of those things that I suppose if someone had a dog that liked lounging in the yard, it's been extremely hot. I suppose that could be a situation where, you know, they would not be aware that that dog was suffering and was struggling. Sadly, though, Wednesdays ago, we had a family come pounding on our door at about 3:30 in the afternoon, and I know it was at least 90 degrees out and a very humid day. And sadly, they lost two bulldogs, their own dog, to heat stroke that afternoon. They were just lounging in the backyard, but unfortunately, as I mentioned, these dogs didn't indicate they were having trouble until they were really in trouble, and the dogs were wet. The people had been trying to cool them, but I don't think that they realized the extent of the damage when you have a patient have a pet that has a smushed face. These bulldogs were already respiratorily compromised just by virtue of their breed. And sadly, they had a hard time, you know, getting them cool enough at home. And by the time they got to us, it was too late.
But there are things you can safely do outside with your dog. So one idea I had years ago, and I still stand by this idea, is to get a kiddie pool, fill the kiddie pool up with 6 inches of water. I don't think any dog's going to drown in 6 inches of water. But it could certainly lay down in 6 inches of water. You can add ice to the water to keep it cooler. I mean, there's no way if it's outside, if the pool is outside, and if it's 90 outside, that the water's ever going to be cold, right? I mean, the climate won't, right? So it's safe that way. The kids can have fun in this kiddie pool if there's kids, and the dog could just lounge around, and it's safe. Is something like that a good idea?
It's a great idea, and, you know, trying to put the pool in the shade would be great, too. You know, and have playtime be earlier in the morning, later in the evening when it's already cooler out, you know, when the sun is not at peak height and we're not all baking. And we're going to have more fun if we can play outside. But I'll tell you, my dog's had some play dates with his best pal next door, and those play dates get shorter and shorter the hotter the weather is. So you know what? If they're done playing and they're giving you that look, bring it back inside. Let the kids stay outside.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is being cognizant of what our pets can and cannot tolerate and maybe being the voice of reason saying, you know what, I know you want to hang out with us, but let's go back inside. You look like you need to cool off.
Yeah. And that's something else that I get a lot. I mean, years ago I was on the radio with the great Bob Collins. And nobody liked Bob Collins. You know, it was always a joy to be on the radio with him. Part of the reason why I'm on WGN now has to do with Bob Collins' love of dogs. But I was talking years ago about this issue, and he said to me something like, oh, come on, Steve, years ago, dogs would be outside. Nobody would say anything about the dog being outside in the hot weather. Well, actually, in a way, he's right, because they're not acclimated today like they were way back when. Is that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, air conditioning wasn't standard in every house for decades. You know, that's a relatively recent thing. And so I think it's like anything. You go to a high-altitude city like Denver, you've got to get acclimated to the altitude. So I think that there's a degree of it, and plenty of dogs down in Texas and other warm states will be outside far more often than our dogs are, and they get used to it. But they also have adapted to that type of weather. I think our pets are kind of coddled in their own way. And yeah, they're definitely not exercised like they used to be decades ago because we're all working crazy hours. So I think it's a combination of several factors that makes it a little tougher for our pets to maybe tolerate what they probably could tolerate more readily in the past.
Now, there aren't a lot of dogs that actually I think are great for runs that are more than a couple of miles. But, you know, I could think of some, you know, the Weimaraner, the Dalmatian was bred actually to run. And there are others as well. But even for those dogs, do you advise those runs be early in the morning or maybe 7 or 8 o'clock at night?
Absolutely. Why take the chance? You know, especially in a bigger dog like that, unless you're prepared to fireman carry that dog back home, if it does get too weak to run, you know, you're in rough shape. So maybe keep those workouts indoors or shorter, you know, go in two runs, one in the morning, one in the evening, rather than one long one is probably a better way to get the fitness, get that time with your pet, but also minimize risk.
I want to talk about something that isn't talked about often enough. I mean, if you live in the city, in a concrete jungle, that makes things warmer. But the concrete itself, particularly, though, asphalt, can get very hot. I don't know that you see any burns in dogs. And sometimes the burns can be mild, but they hurt. So you might not see it because the pet parent doesn't bring the dog in, not knowing what has happened. But I suspect it happens far more often than we think.
asphalt's really tough on their feet. You know, they've got pads and they've got nice thick pads because they're going without shoes. They're basically barefoot their whole lives. But, you know, that really hot asphalt, you can sometimes feel the heat coming off the pavement. And if we're feeling that, you know, our pets have no choice but to walk across it if that's where we're leading them. But if we're walking them on too much of that, they could definitely, I've seen pads where they've literally kind of just peeled off. They've gone down to these ulcerated, really raw spots. And now you got to put booties on the dog, and the dog's on pain medication. It's very afraid to walk. I've also seen dogs overexercised on gravel that has torn up their paw pad. Because again, if a dog is having fun, they don't always stop, even if they're hurting. So sometimes we have to be, again, the wise one to say, you know, this is too hot or that's too rough of a surface. Let's go back home, because I don't think too many people want to put booties on their pet's feet in the summer, although that's another good idea if you have no choice but to walk along blacktop. But that's something where, again, picking your time of day to go outside so you can avoid the high heat and avoid those foot injuries is a great way to go, because pads don't grow back very quickly. So that's a pretty long recovery.
Well, getting a bit tight on time, but I want to mention this, you know, so while it's wonderful that your dog goes swimming in a stream or a pond or even Lake Michigan, how important is it to be protected against leptospirosis, because the dogs may drink a little bit in that pond, in that river, or Lake Michigan?
Very much so. We just had a case we tested for lepto, about 2 weeks ago, because we were very concerned about that illness. We see it quite commonly, actually, and just real quickly, it's transmitted through the infected urine of wildlife like skunks, raccoons, possums, even rats can carry it. So think about all that wet weather we had a couple of weeks ago with a lot of puddles that were remaining. A dog steps in the puddle, licks their feet, drinks in the puddle, they've contracted this illness, and it can cause kidney and or liver failure. It doesn't matter if they're 12 weeks old or 12 years old. If they get it, that can be fatal. So vaccination does really help protect them. And even if they do potentially get sick with a vaccine on board, they're far less sick than if they were not vaccinated. I've treated patients that have done well, and I've seen patients unvaccinated die from it. So it's a very real risk, but we've got options for prevention, which is great.
It is great. And it is always great to talk to you. Lots of information there. Dr. Hennigan, you're terrific. As always, thank you very much.
Steve, thank you so much.
'Tis the season, right, for thunderstorms. We're getting more and more of those. And in fact, if your dog is expressing terror, abject terror, talk to your veterinarian, because probably psychopharmaceutical medication is the right way to go so your dog doesn't feel that way. In my view, I know you said, I don't like to drug my dog. I understand. But it's not going to change your dog's personality. What it will change is the terror, absolute terror. I mean, your dog may think, I am going to die. Literally, that goes away. How can that be a bad thing? Depending on the drug and your dog, it may make your dog just a bit drowsy, but probably not. It just takes away the fear, and how can that be a bad thing? And once that happens, there are some things you can do to help. You know, but if your dog is just mildly concerned about thunderstorms, well, now is the time to make a difference. And there are lots of things you can do, and in my view, should do. You know, there's some products out there. One is Zilkeen. It's a nutraceutical, so it's not a nutritional supplement. It's not a pharmaceutical. It's kind of a hybrid in between. It's a hydrolyzed milk protein. The problem with some of these is that there's no science to back them up, but with Zilkeen, as one example, and there are others you could talk to your veterinarian about, there is science to back it up, and that matters to me. The point is, there are some things you can do now, pheromone products, to just lower the dog's anxiety, mild anxiety, albeit, and in the meantime, do some other things. Distract the dog. You know, so make it fun. Thunderstorm's going on, we're going to play. So eventually the dog, we get fed. We get special treats. Out of food puzzle, so we have to work at it. We're not just scarfing down the food all during the thunderstorm, or at least part of it. We're having a good time getting this amazing food, I mean, not just your regular food, amazing treats out of these toys or out of these food puzzles. And then the dog associates over time. But if the dog is so terrorized, the dog won't do that. That's when the drugs come in. You get the idea. I've written a lot more about it on my website, which, as you know, is stevedale.com. TV. Next week, we talk about bats. You heard me right, on the pet show, even if you don't have a pet bat. And we'll also talk about senior cats. That's next week, bright and early, right here on WGN, Steve Dale's Pet World.